Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Wednesday. Today on the radio show, John Martin's going to be in here in a second, in a little bit, next segment. We'll talk to John about the Grizzlies, about the Memphis Tigers. The Memphis Tigers play La Tech tonight at FedEx Forum, make their triumphant return from Maui. So we'll talk to John about that. And more Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then normally we'd have Sam Hardiman join us on Wednesdays to talk about what's going on in the city. Sam has a busy day today, and given the pay that we give Sam, I think that's a reasonable excuse, right? Don't you think? Like, busy?
Jeff, there's never an excuse for missing the show.
I guess not. I know Sam Hardiman today. He'll just have to be content with us. Sam is covering the news, and so we'll catch up with Sam next week. We do have a lot to talk about, beginning with the Grizzlies game last night. At the end of the third quarter, I started pondering which highlights I wanted to play this morning.
And so it's your fault.
My God, it is interesting. The whole Jinx thing, I don't believe in it, but I believe in it. Like, it is.
We love a scapegoat.
What is the Jinx? Well, and let's be honest. I particularly, for those who follow me on Twitter/X, I do have a knack of weighing in at the exact moment before it turns. And so I have multiple times, I would say with the same consistency that Luka Doncic beats the Mavs.
You mean the Grizzlies?
I mean the Grizz. I jinx whatever Memphis team I'm commenting on. Like, and of course it's silly. It's preposterous. It's ridiculous. There's no such thing. I have no impact on the disaster that unfolded in the fourth quarter. Why do we believe it?
Because we like to believe that it's somebody's fault other than our guys. That's why we get absurd about the refs. We swing way too far in blaming other people other than, hey, maybe make a play.
I actually think it's a desire to have some control over the uncontrollables. Like, we do not have any control over it. And so therefore,
we make up ways.
We make up ways. Yeah, if I do this or this and this.
So it's narcissism.
It's a feeling of helplessness. It's dealing with our helplessness. I don't think it's narcissism. I think it's
thinking you have an impact on something you don't have an impact.
It's a way of legitimately. It's a way of coping. It's a way of coping with our. It's in fact the opposite. It's a way of coping with our feelings of futility. It's a coping mechanism, understanding deep down that we have no control over. But anyway. If I did have a control over it, I would have had that fourth quarter turn out differently. The Grizzlies lose to the Mavs last night in crushing fashion. In fact, it was so crushing that it made me wonder, like, am I madder about this one or about, like, the bad losses? You know, this is bad in a different way. You matter about this game or the Bulls game? You matter about this game or the Brooklyn game? You matter about, like, where are you on this? Where are you in terms of how irritated you were at the end of this.
I don't know if irritated is the word. I will
frustrated.
Say
frustrated.
Last night felt
disgusted.
Like a, it felt like a bigger game than a regular season game, and I don't think it had anything to do with the cup. I think
it had nothing to do with the cup.
I think it had a lot to do with, all right, we saw a 6-game winning streak, but I think all of us in the back of our minds
now
were like,
now they're playing real competition, and
correct.
Not just real competition that
the Western Conference champion.
And as you look around this season,
sure.
Who do you expect to be there? Right?
Yep.
Who they are one of the teams. I think you'd feel the same way about Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? They are one of the teams.
Someone that you believe is going to be a contender for the West.
Yeah, Minnesota. They've obviously struggled more, but still, like again, this is a team on our level in the West, comparable talent. How do we match up? And you had them. Leading by 13 at the end of the fourth quarter.
And I don't even think it's necessarily, quote-unquote, on our level. I think in the back of everyone's mind, everyone's like, all right, how good are they? Like, I do
100%.
Think...
100%. How good are the Grizzlies? Yes.
Right.
It is a test. It is
correct.
A test. It's both a tilt in terms of work these are teams are competing with, but you're also right. It is a test. This is a, all right, it's nice to take care of these lesser teams. How do we match up? What's interesting is it didn't feel like if that is the standard, if that's what it was, a test, it didn't feel like because of the way they pissed it away, let's be honest,
mm-hmm.
It didn't feel like a test they failed.
No, I agree, because they were really good for much of the game. They just didn't close it out.
They just didn't close it out. Oh, my God.
Like, at no point did you sit there and go, they don't belong on the floor with these guys.
Not at all.
Right.
Not at all. And it's one of these, like, they were the better team. They should have won.
Yep. You let one get away.
But it was frustrating. All right, let me give you some theories about why they lost this game. And I will let you weigh in on these theories one by one. Believe me, ladies and gentlemen, I will get to your favorite theory. So here's one theory. One theory is the foul shot disparity, 44-14. Not only that, in the fourth quarter, in the decisive fourth quarter, where the Grizzlies were outscored 39-21, they were outscored 26-3. At the line. And if you read Drew Hill, Drew was there. If you read Drew Hill in the Daily Memphian, one quote after another, starting with Taylor Jenkins, including Marcus Smart, right on down the line about what a preposterous disparity it was. What happened here, Jeffrey? This is theory number one. They didn't lose this game. It was stolen from them. It was flat out stolen from them by the officials. In fact, it at a historic level of theft from the officials. The last time a team was, it was like a Clippers game.
This felt like a Lakers game. But this was the refrain. Remember when they played the Lakers in the playoffs? Was the like anytime like Anthony Davis the free throw disparity? That was a Lakers series.
No, refrain. But there is actually a piece of history here that I'm going to sum it up. But anyway, while I sum it up, you tell me if you subscribe to the this was stolen from them theory.
I do not. Do I think the Mavs got a favorable whistle? Okay, fine. I think home teams in general get favorable whistles. With that said, like I felt like the Grizzlies settled for more shots than the Mavericks did. They took 8 more threes, and then also, like, I do, and I actually am kind of okay with it, but, like, Ja last night, a lot of times what it was, like, going to the rim, stopping, and then hitting, like, a 6-8 footer.
One of the points the Grizzlies made is, in fact, it's Ja going to the rim, it's Dez going to the rim. This is a team that goes to the rim, and they couldn't get any foul calls. Here's the number. The Mavs attempted 23 more free throws than the Grizzlies in the fourth quarter, 26-3. That's the largest difference in a fourth quarter since the Clippers against the Spurs in 2015. Not since 2015.
So basically a decade.
Have we seen this kind of disparity? And that was, by the way, DeAndre Jordan getting fouled a bunch, 15 times, 14 times. So I'll say this. In terms of the foul argument, I thought the Grizzlies fouled a lot in the fourth quarter.
I'm with you.
Like, if you were going to go the other way, chart, if you're objecting though,
yeah,
it's not. Like, there were not a lot of fouls that were called on the Grizzlies that I'm like, well, that was BS.
Yeah, that was soft.
There were a bunch of fouls that could have been called on the Mavs that were not. The part of the disparity that bothered me wasn't the 26 as much as it was the 3. Like, Jaren was 100% fouled on a play. Job was 100% fouled on a play. It wasn't that they were calling the fouls on the Grizzlies. The Grizzlies were fouling a lot. I can see the argument that they swallowed the whistle on some Mavs fouls against the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I just think in the pie chart, that's a small sliver to me.
Okay. I'm going to give you a bunch of different theories here, okay? How about the old minutes restriction theory? If you look at the Grizzlies starters, you had Jaren with 29 minutes. You had Ja with 31 minutes. You look at their stars. Jaren with 29. Ja with 31. And Desmond Bain with 31. If you look at the Mavs minutes, you had Luka with 40, Kyrie with 35, PJ Washington with 38, and Lively with 32. Four Mavs played substantially more minutes than any Grizz, including Ja Morant. So it was their asinine, I'm just saying, making the argument, it was their asinine minutes distribution, biting them in the ass, playing a better team. When they play a better team, doesn't work.
Yes. This one I subscribe to way more than I do the free throw disparity. Like, I'm with Chris Harrington. I think they do this whole deal where they arbitrarily set a cap on minutes when there's plenty of games where, all right, Ja needs to play 28 minutes. You got the game wrapped up, whatever. Like, it should be more of like an average of minutes rather than game by game. It's like, well, he's out of minutes. They're spent. It's gone. Nothing else. That I am 100% on board with.
I'm not buying that in this game. And the reason is they were up, like, with a little more than 3 minutes left, they were up 8 and all their stars were on the court.
Yeah, they could have been up more.
Yeah, but let me look here.
I've got it in front of me. What do you want?
With 3:30 left, they were up 8 and all the stars were on the court. They should have won that game. They didn't lose that game because the stars weren't on the court. The stars were on the court. The stars squandered an 8-point lead with 3 minutes left.
The lead could have been way more. That game could have been wrapped up by 3.5 minutes.
Relatedly, here's the other argument. The bench, which we have celebrated to such a tremendous extent, the bench against a good team, not very good, honestly. Here, Luke Kennard, 0 points. Marcus Smart, we'll get to him, a category of his own.
Luke only had one shot.
0 points. Jay Huff had 8. Jake, 4. Jake, 4. Scottie Pippen, 5. These are guys who you have Scottie Pippen, 2 of 6. Luke Kennard, 0 of 1. Marcus Smart, 0 of 7. Jake LaRavia, 1 of 4. The guys who we have counted on to be impressive against lesser competition aren't going to be able to hold up when another team is playing their stars heavy minutes and you're relying on these guys.
Jeff, I don't know if you've heard me say this before, but it's something I say all the time, and it's something that I really pride myself on coming up with. Role players play better at home.
There's that. There is that. So, all right.
To me, it's like you can't subscribe to that if you also reject
the second
one. The second theory.
Well, I do think generally, what's interesting is I don't ascribe last night's loss. The Stars played like crap at the end. Jaren played like crap at the end. You know, and he said it afterwards. Jaren in the fourth quarter was 1 of 6.
Jaren had the classic, and it goes back to your point number one. Jaren has a bad habit of when he thinks he's not getting calls, he gets very frustrated and he has like dumb plays on the other end.
So I do think that question of when you play better teams, when you're playing the playoffs, whatever, how is this minutes thing going to work? You know, is it something, it's a philosophy that you stick to all the time, or do you just stick to if you're playing the Wizards? You know, like how is this going to work? I think will be interesting.
Well, then I think there's also the question of, is this something you stick to in the regular season, or is this something you'd stick to in a playoff series?
Yeah, and here's the thing. If you're going to, an interesting question is, if you're not going to do it in the regular, in the playoffs, you play completely differently in the playoffs than you do in the regular season?
I think the
isn't that a little weird?
The argument would be is more of like a survival tactic. Like, it's an 82-game right. season. It's to get through that.
And it's not like you're going to be a running-oriented offense in the football right. or the regular season, then you're going to switch to throwing it.
Correct.
You're doing the same things. It's just more or less of it.
Correct.
Right? Okay, here's another theory. Marcus Smart played the worst fourth quarter of basketball I've ever seen in my life.
Sometimes it can be simple. And this is not even scapegoating. This is just like, hey, man, he made several game-deciding plays just in the negative.
He was terrible.
The saving the basketball is still one of the dumbest plays I've ever seen.
That one, if you want to know the truth, that one I actually is more excusable.
I vehemently disagree. That is a lack of awareness.
I think he thought Santi touched it.
That was a complete lack of awareness.
It was
such a bad. He had no idea where he was on the floor.
It was such a bad miss. Again, it was a horrible play. It was a horrible play. I grant you that. We're talking which is more horrible. I think when you're in the bonus fouling Luka 10 miles away from the basket, dumber. Because the other one, at least there's an argument. The argument is, I thought that Santi touched
it. I at least wasn't leaving it up to chance. I still think it's a lack of words. I still think the worst play
They're both bad. They're both terrible.
I think the worst play, though, is the... I can't stand... It's such a loser move of, he elbowed me and just stopped playing.
The stop playing in the final minute.
That is so inexcusable. I don't care if you got hit in the face. Well, keep playing.
Then, okay, here's the last... Okay? Here is one that I actually may subscribe to. They lost their composure. The team as a group, I actually don't want... Marcus Smart was horrible. And those plays, all three of them, were atrocious. I saw our friend Hardwood Paroxysm said, if Marcus Smart had been shaving points...
Yes.
Could you have told... The truth of the matter is, he wouldn't have done that because that would have been too obvious.
Correct. Like, you knew he wasn't shaving points
because that would have been too correct. Obvious. You're throwing the game.
Yes. No, I'm actually with you.
But I don't want to put it all on Marcus Smart because it was a team-wide lack of composure.
That's fine.
They
but there are
7.5 games.
Basically, if
seven
you
and
flip
a half minutes,
one or two of these plays, it's a different game.
Yes. 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 If you they go 7.5 minutes without a field goal.
Yeah.
They go 7.5 minutes without a field goal.
Listen, when you blow, what was it, a 12-point fourth quarter lead, it takes a village.
8 of 23 from the field, 2 of 10 from three in the fourth. If you leave Ja out of it, they're 3 of 15 overall in the fourth quarter. So it was a total lack of composure by the Grizzlies as they melted down. And it was, sure, maybe they got a tough whistle. I buy that, right? Maybe they got a tough whistle, particularly on calls that were not called.
Sorry, 15-point fourth quarter lead.
Maybe they got a tough whistle. Lots of things you can argue about, but I think it is inarguable that they lost their composure.
Yes.
And therefore melted down and therefore lost a game to the Mavs that they should have won. Incidentally, we're also eliminated from the cup. They will not be advancing.
I'm actually fine with it.
I don't care about advancing.
No, like, I just think, like, I get it.
You know who's not advancing? Boston. You know who else isn't advancing? Cleveland.
It's not even that. It's like, I when I watched the Lakers expend so much energy last year to win the cup, like, that is not what I care about.
They did get two games. That's what happens. When you're not advancing to the cup, you
correct.
Get... And so, know what they get? They get another shot of the Brooklyn Nets.
There we go.
They get another
revenge.
Shot. They get another shot of the Brooklyn.
Nobody sweeps the Grizzlies.
And nobody sweeps the Grizzlies, and then they play at the Lakers. They get the Nets here,
hooray.
And they play at the Lakers. That's like a trip there and back to Los Angeles. So there you go. Well, that was discouraging. And the other reason I could offer is the jinx theory. Just yesterday I was talking about what a glorious moment is in Memphis sports. You down with that theory? I jinxed them. And know what? Chris Harrington jinxed him because he was talking about how well Marcus Smart was suddenly playing. It's the jinx. It's right back to the jinx.
Yeah, I'm still not. I don't think we can say that in a first week of December basketball game. Despite the fact that obviously, like I thought what was cool about last night until the
last
4 minutes. Man, when you were watching like pregame and whatnot, you're like, man, the building's full. Like it felt like a big game. And you're like, this is kind of fun in December.
It did feel like a big game. I'll say that. That's honestly,
like Rob, when they cut to Rob, to
that's
do the,
what made it so damn frustrating. It felt like a big game, 100%.
When they cut to Rob for like the opening, you know, when Rob does his first bench report right before tip off, like Rob's like yelling into the microphone because he can't hear because it was so loud. I was like, man, this is fun.
Well, that was discouraging. All right, we do have other news.
It's very annoying.
It was very annoying. That's it. It was not, in fact, discouraging. It was mostly just annoying. All right. Well, we got John Martin coming up next. Then we got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. We do have other news. Memphis Tigers, as I mentioned earlier, make their return against La Tech tonight at FedEx Forum. That game is on ESPN+. Now, La Tech. Is this a danger game? Is this a trap game? You got La Tech and Arkansas State now, like games where you have to take care of business.
It can't be a trap game because that would mean
it's
on the other side.
Yeah. Is it a danger game though? If it's not a trap game, is it a danger game?
I mean, theoretically, yes, because like they're predicted to win.
I think it's
CUSA,
a danger game,
but they did just lose to Southern. And I'm not talking Southern Miss.
No, they lost to Southern Sunday, and 73-70 at home. They lost to Southern, so that is not good. They were picked to win it to win Conference USA. They played nobody. I think they'd won seven straight before they lost to Southern. Reading Parth,
their best win prior to that was UMass, who's KenPom 166. They have multiple games against teams that are not D1.
That's
good schedule.
I think it is this is a little bit of a test for the, have you been reading your clippings too much? How are you going to do against inferior competition? Like, what did we see last year? We saw them crush the good teams and then faced with inferior competition in conference. They struggled.
No, I think
how do you handle the clippings?
I think you
right?
can make the argument, though, it started a little bit during the non-con portion when they were playing the lesser opponents. Like, remember they kind of farted around with Jackson State for a while. They did not look good against Vandy, didn't look good against Austin Peay. I do think if you want to take a look at it from the perspective you're talking about, yeah, this could be an opportunity to say, prove that this is different than last year. Because these are the games last year that you just absolutely overlooked, and you did not play well.
I think it is. I think it's a little bit of a test. I do hope that people will celebrate the return. I mean, the triumph
into the building.
Get into the building. I mean, they deserve a reward for their performance in Maui. It seems to me. So there you go. But I was reading Parth's story, and if you want to find reasons why this is a danger game besides just the timing of it, two things. We know that Memphis has flourished as a three-point shooting team, right? They are now still astonishingly shooting 46.9% from three, which is kind of remarkable. But La Tech, one thing they do well, now again, they do well against inferior competition, so we'll see how well they do against the Tigers, but they are good at they're only giving up sub 30% shooting from three. Does that persuade you?
Not really.
Okay, how about this one? Daniel Baccio, who is their best player from France, big man, 6'11", averages 20.1 points a game, shooting 74% from the field. I don't know if you watched Auburn or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they struggle in the paint. So they have a team that doesn't give up threes and that has a big who is going to challenge, and Memphis is thin up front. You buying that one?
Is he going to be the national player of the year?
No, but
maybe in France.
Only one. Only one of those will be. Uh-huh. No. All right, hopefully they take care of business. And then finally, we had...
I do agree with you, though. It is a test, but none of it is about Louisiana Tech to me. All of it is about the mindset of Memphis.
Okay. And then we did have the rankings released last night, which went exactly as I expected, including Tennessee fans can be ticked at this, but including Tennessee ranked behind Ohio State, as I predicted, and including Alabama, as everyone predicted, as you certainly predicted, ahead of Miami, ahead of Ole Miss, and ahead of South Carolina. And if you look at the things that are irking people, or that is the things that are being debated right now, that's the main one, right? It's Alabama as ahead of that pack, and Ward Manuel saying afterwards, basically, that's not going to change because none of these teams are playing. It actually wouldn't. The only way it could even conceivably change is if one of their opponents looked better or worse, given whatever happened this weekend.
Sure.
And that would only be incremental.
Yeah.
So it's not going to change. So Alabama gets the nod over Miami and over Ole Miss. I think the bigger complaint is Ole Miss. The one that everyone's focused on is Miami. Miami has no good wins. Well, no top 25 wins. Now, it's a little arbitrary.
Yeah, because it's their rankings.
They do have, if you look at the AP others receiving votes,
yeah,
the teams that they beat are first and third. So the fact that you say top 25, which is Ward Manuel said. He said they're 3-1 against the top 25. That's what he said, Alabama, as explaining it as over Miami. They're 3-1 against the top 25.
Right. The teams that you ranked in the top 25.
The teams that, yes. And you've got two teams that Miami beat who are right outside the top 25.
Yeah.
And in the AP. And by the way, the fact that they are 3-1 against the top 25 but still has three losses means they have two losses to teams not in the top 25, Alabama
yes.
has. And they have a truly atrocious recent loss to Oklahoma.
Whereas they scored 3 points.
Just a pathetic.
3 points.
To a bad Oklahoma team. Whereas Miami has two road losses by 9 points to 22 Syracuse and to a Georgia Tech team that just nearly beat Georgia.
Yes. And they have a better record.
And they have a better record. And you could say, well, listen, better records don't mean anything. We don't just count wins and losses, right? We don't count wins and losses. What we do is we look at the whole strength of the schedule, right? We look at who you've played, who your quality wins are against. We don't just count wins and losses, except for, look at this. Number two team. Why is Texas number two? And I don't have an objection about it, but that's because you're counting wins and losses. They're 11-1. You know how many top 25 wins they have? Zero.
Yeah.
They have zero top 25 wins. 10 in Georgia, by contrast, with one more loss than Texas. In other words, if we're looking at just the quality of wins and losses, and we're not just counting the number at the end, then Georgia has three top 25 wins.
Yeah.
Including one over Texas.
And the hardest strength of schedule.
So Georgia
of any
should
team
be,
we're talking
if
about.
You're actually looking at quality, which is what you have to do in order to elevate Alabama over Miami, why the hell shouldn't Georgia be elevated over Texas? They have one more loss, but three more top 25 wins, and you beat Texas. Or how about this one? Penn State.
Yeah.
Penn State, 11-1. You know how many top 25 wins Penn State has?
Let's see. Illinois.
I think that's right.
They beat Illinois. I know they did.
It has fewer than Ohio State, and Ohio State beat Penn State.
Yes.
Ohio State beat Penn State, and Ohio State has more top 25 wins.
I think when they could.
What's interesting is you're looking at the top, you absolutely were counting losses,
yes.
right? Indiana, well, I only got one loss. We're just going to put them there,
yep.
right? But then when you got down to Alabama, you're like, oh, we don't do something as just basic as counting wins and losses. Sure, Alabama has three and Miami has two. We're gonna discount the fact that at the top, we focused on Texas having one and Georgia having two or whatever, and we're going to look at the quality of all of this, right?
Yep.
In order to elevate Alabama over Miami. I think Alabama's probably better than Miami. I don't really object to it, except for the fact that you're applying totally different standards in different places in the top 25. And if you're looking at quality, I think Ole Miss is a better. I think Ole Miss has a better record overall than Alabama.
Yeah, I think what in the end what irritates everyone is the fact that it's we all agree you got to put someone in at that 12th spot. I think everyone understands that, and everyone understands the 12th team's probably going to be flawed. What is irritating people is the fact that Alabama gets a benefit of the doubt and has something that is applied to them that doesn't apply to anyone else. That's why people are irritated.
And then it's always Alabama.
Correct. They just have googly eyes for that script day.
And it's always Alabama.
And this is not Saban's Alabama.
Then you have the separate question. What happens if SMU loses to Clemson? You have been arguing that you think Alabama will still hang on to that last spot.
Yes.
Over SMU.
For what we just saw last night.
And it's kind of interesting. I think I agree with you. I think after watching them behave what they did last night, I think I agree with you. And Ward Manuel asked about this specifically, asked if there was any way that SMU could drop below Alabama, did acknowledge that, yes, that is a possibility. Let me find the exact quote here. He said, yes. He said, yeah, he said it's possible. And so the fact that he's opening the door for it, where he was happy to close other doors last night.
And he acknowledged it. He didn't do the we don't deal in hypotheticals.
He said, here it is. Potentially, yes.
Yeah.
That was the quote. Potentially, yes. It may simply be, and we've seen this before, USC 2 years ago played in a conference championship game, got their doors blown off by Utah and dropped out, right? If SMU plays them really close, I think it'll be harder. If SMU gets blown out, I think it'll be easy. You think any SMU loss, Alabama's getting in?
Yes.
God.
I think actually, because everyone kept saying, oh, the committee's got to be rooting for Clemson, because Clemson in a close win because it's clean. I was like, they're rooting for SMU. Get Clemson out of there, and they can.
Oh, they're 100% rooting for SMU, because that makes it easier.
Make it clean.
You don't have to try to defend why you're taking
why
you're doing Alabama over SMU.
Because you can't come out and say, well, this is really just the Big Ten and the SEC's party.
And then the other thing that is ridiculous, honestly, is the seeding. It's ridiculous, and I think they'll change it. I mean, the fact that right now you look at how the playoff would work, and the disparity of the draws.
Wait, you can give me Arizona State and Boise back-to-back?
It's ridiculous.
I will be on the record, though. If I'm a generic playoff team, I would rather see Arizona State and Indiana than Boise State for one simple reason, and it's not just Ashton Janti. It's the fact that Boise State up front has dudes that look like guys that are true, like, power two offense and defensive linemen. And then they have perhaps the best player that's left.
Here's the matchups. Right now it would be Ohio's Tennessee going to Columbus to play Ohio State and then having to play number one Oregon.
Correct.
Like, come on, man. That is rough.
By the way, how's that fair to Oregon?
How is that fair to Oregon?
Your number one seed.
You then have Penn State, who's beaten nobody, as we previously indicated.
Yet, right.
But Penn State right now playing
Dan
Arizona State
Franklin in
and then Boise. You've got Georgia hosting Indiana and then rematch against Texas.
For the third time.
And you've got Alabama going to Notre Dame, and then the winner gets SMU. It's just, if you are in that Arizona State game and you got Boise State, or if you're Notre Dame and Alabama and you got SMU, you're feeling pretty good about it.
Oh, for sure.
You may not be, but you're feeling pretty good about it relative to playing Oregon or Texas.
No, I guess the way that I would look at it, though, is the bracket's not going to fall that way. Penn State's not staying at five. They're either moving up
or moving down.
Correct. And so, but I do agree with you. If this were the bracket, how could you make the argument against, well, because everyone used to think, like, everyone's overrating the five seed. Like, that's it's overrated. If you're looking at this, how can you sit there and say, if you're not going to...
The five seed is a beautiful place to be. The five seed is a beautiful place to be. Yeah.
So, well, I guess maybe the bigger argument is going to be, are we going to just seed 1 through 4 based on the highest ranked?
Yes, that's what I think what they're going to do, they're going to throw out the conference champion thing.
Yeah, you get in
by being a conference champion.
You get in.
But then they're going to seed it
correct.
Based on perceived quality.
Correct.
Ward Manuel's eye test.
Yeah.
Is what's going to happen. It is also, by the way, signing day today.
Surprise!
Used to be a big deal.
Well, it also used to be in February.
It also used to be in February. All right, John Martin coming up next. If you are really wanting to be extraordinarily thoughtful this holiday season, take something to the frame corner and get it custom framed. My gosh, points there. A, you're turning something, some collection of photos or sports memory into something beautiful and memorable. B, it shows you thought ahead. You did something, and it's like it does. It transforms something into a memory, into a piece of history that can be handed down forever. You can buy a frame, a custom at the Frame Corner as well. They have beautiful frames, but they specialize in custom framing. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back with John Martin in a moment. It's Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN. You can tackle the NFL action on FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers, $150 in bonus bets if you win. That's right. FanDuel Sportsbook app gives you everything you need to place live bets on the NFL all in one place. When you get a hunch in the middle of the game, check out the latest stats, view live play-by-play, and so much more on the same page where you place your bets. Just go to FanDuel.com/Calkins. That's the promo code C-A-L-K-I-N-S to join today. Get started with $150 in bonus bets if you win your first $5 bet. Must be 21 or older, present Tennessee. First online real money wager, only $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline 1-800-889-9789. When we last had John Martin on, of course, John every single day, along with Jason Smith, 11 to 2. When we last had John on, he was telling us what a disrespectful line it was, Memphis and Tulane. He wagered heavily on the Memphis Tigers and won. How you feeling about that, John?
It was a great day, but that was last week, bro.
Onward to other things.
Yeah, like I've made like 50 bets since then. I mean, I don't, you know.
The worst bet you've made since then?
Bucks -3.5 live after they scored and went up 20-16.
Oh my god!
What a crazy game that was.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw it, but Bryce ended up.
Bryce was terrific.
And then it went to overtime, and then the Bucks won the toss. I'm like, hell yeah, we're going to go win the game on touchdown. Of course not.
I saw, by the way, and I sent it to you. I heard you and Jason talking about, and we'll get to the Tigers here in a minute. I heard you and Jason talking about the NFL draft yesterday and your hopes that your beloved Raiders will draft a quarterback, although I'll be honest, it all seems pretty dicey to me. But there is a new mock draft over at the Athletic, and the Las Vegas Raiders are picking second. And they pick, from the University of Miami, the U, they pick Cam Ward, leaving for the Giants, Shedeur Sanders. Your thoughts?
I hate that. I hate that choice totally. I just don't see any way that you pass up Shedeur at number one for Cam Ward. I mean, if you're not going to draft Shedeur Sanders, okay, you draft Travis Hunter.
He went one. He picked second. You're picking second.
Okay, gotcha.
And Travis Hunter went number one.
Okay, so Raiders would pick two. Gotcha.
So you're picking two.
Yeah, still, I still think that's the totally wrong choice. I mean, Cam plays a little loose and fast for me. You know, Shedeur has kind of already shown me what he can do in a pro style offense. You know, I mean, I've already kind of seen it. He's a little odd, like I would say, like he is public, Prescott, like he's a different bird. But I think he's just such a pure passer, that it's, you know, he throws an unbelievable ball, man. He really does.
Let's weigh in on the Giants fan on this one. Jeffrey, so Las Vegas takes Cam, and the Giants take Shador.
I mean, I think Shador's the best quarterback in this group, but I'm very, very scared of Shador in New York. I think Shador is very thin-skinned, and I do not think that's a great place to be thin-skinned.
So there you go. All right, we'll move on. John, okay, Grizzlies last night, they lost, and you sent me a disparaging tweet about Marcus Smart in the middle of the meltdown. We were going through different theories about why the Grizzlies lost. One was officials. One was their best players don't play nearly as many minutes as Luka and Kyrie play. One was bench production. One was Marcus Smart. One was just a general lack of composure. To what do you ascribe the discouraging loss last night?
I think if I were drawing a Venn diagram.
I would never do that, by the way. I'd never draw a Venn diagram. I don't know that I ever had outside of math class.
Pie chart, John. Pie chart.
That's a pie chart. The Venn diagrams is when they overlap. Is that what that
correct.
One is?
It's the two circles right. with what's
it's
in the
two
middle.
Two circles.
Not a Venn diagram. It's
okay.
a pie chart.
The pie
if
chart.
I'm drawing a pie chart.
Listen to it. Listen to it. Bruce Ryan would be proud. You jumping in there and fixing that, Jeffrey. Bruce Ryan,
right.
former math teacher at MUS.
We play like a team.
Friend.
We play with composure in the crunch. Right. That's what we do.
Yeah. So what would
biggest,
you say?
The biggest slice, I think, would be lack of composure.
Well, because it covers more. Because then you actually do have a Venn diagram. You, in your Venn diagram, the Marcus Smart circle and the lack of composure circle would substantially overlap.
Right, exactly right. But so, yeah, so the biggest slice would be lack of composure. The second biggest slice would be Marcus Smart. And the third biggest slice would be the minutes, the minute distribution.
The minutes. Officials would not be a big slice.
Officials?
Yeah.
No.
Officials
absolutely
would not be a big slice.
I mean, because here's the thing, right? Here's the thing. Like, you could point to the disparity, and it was a wide disparity. But go back and watch the Grizzlies' offense in the fourth quarter. You know? I mean, what did they do? That
turnovers, hoisting them. Nope. They there were definitely some fouls.
Sure. Jared, I mean, there always hacked. Are. You'll find some. But, okay, so we get you to 14. We get you to 18. You know, I mean, you know, what are we talking about here? I mean, you can't blame that game on free throws. Like, to me, that was a game that you lost mentally. You lost that.
And which was your least favorite Marcus Smart play? I'll give you some options here. One was fouling Luka 10 miles from the basket. One was saving the ball out of bounds, an air ball out of bounds that then went right back to Dallas. One was just quitting on defense in the final minute. Pick your own adventure. I'll give you those three.
Like, there's three that I thought were really bad. The save was the worst.
I think you can make the argument that Santi touched that one.
Yeah, but somebody...
There's at least an argument there, right?
Somebody had to communicate to him. Like whatever. Like, either somebody did communicate to him, or he didn't hear, or whatever. But yes, it was a poor save attempt anyway. that was the worst, because it gave Dallas an entirely new possession, and I believe they scored on it. The second worst one was, the foul 94 feet away from the basket. Brother, what are you doing? Is this your first year in the league, bro? It looks like it sometimes. And the third one out, there was a quick pull-up contested three with nine-something remaining, you know, where it was definitely like Memphis, you know, the Grizzlies needed to kind of stop the bleeding. And that was not an effective tourniquet. I mean, that was like the best-case scenario for the Dallas Mavericks. That you know, Marcus Smart takes a contested three with nine, 10 seconds left on the shot clock.
Jeffrey was frustrated by the quitting on defense if he thought he got elbowed in the final minute.
Yep, he definitely did. He you know, I mean, he tried to get the foul card.
Already down at that point, they were.
But
felt like
I just
been
think,
lost.
You know,
he did one stop.
Been,
yeah. What?
Yeah. Well, he stopped. I don't think there's been any point in the tenure for him with the Grizzlies where he's looked like. A relevant piece.
At all. He was great against Detroit just last week. He's actually
Detroit,
been good
bro.
This week. That's fine.
You just said there's no point
where he was a relevant piece, and he was a relevant piece
against
Detroit.
Okay, but we're going to talk about real life now, and we're playing the Dallas Mavericks on the road, you know, which is a conceivable thing that could happen
it is.
In the postseason. And this is what, you get.
Listen, have you ever had a bad radio show?
Yeah, I've definitely had a bad radio show, but I wasn't brought in to 92.9 to be
to stabilize,
you know,
the radio show, to be the veteran voice of reason.
Because,
Brad,
you know,
would have been
the,
so,
I mean,
shocked when you,
was, but.
It, when you and Jason were getting into it. Imagine if you'd been hired to be the voice of reason, to be the veteran leader, like that would have been tough, you know. At least people understood. You know,
the whole idea behind Marcus Smart is that he was brought in here to help the Grizzlies
in games like that.
Yeah, and he didn't. He didn't. He hurt him. He hurt him major way. And so I would personally, what's the guy? I've seen enough.
Really? You've seen enough.
I think he's damaged goods. I think he's damaged goods. I think his best years are unequivocally behind him. I think his heart's still in Boston. He's never gotten over that. I think he's unprofessionally. He showed up out of shape. I'm over the Marcus Smart deal. I never really liked it that much to begin with because of his age and mileage. And now you're seeing it happen. He gives you nothing on offense, so he's a complete zero on offense. And he's making these absolutely gigantic mental mistakes that are costly. It's hard to play him. I can't play him over Jalen Wells, bro. Jalen Wells is a second-round rookie. I'd rather give those minutes to him than Marcus Smart. I mean, there's just no question in my mind about that.
Is tonight's game a danger game for the Tigers? La Tech danger game. You're feeling your oats a little bit. You bet the big thing in Maui. This is exactly what they did last year. Now it's not a conference game, but you're feeling triumphant. You play a lesser opponent, but that can beat you. Like they were picked to win CUSA. They did lose to Southern. They got a big in Daniel Bacho.
Bacho.
6'11". Memphis thin up front. Danger game.
It ain't big, that man. I mean, we're worried about man, losing a Tech big, man. Come on. We're worried about him against, you know, Michigan St. Auburn. We're not worried about him against losing a Tech. I mean, Memphis is 11.5-point favorite. Listen, I'm not saying I'm running to bet this by any stretch of the imagination, but what I will say is, you know, this is a Memphis basketball team that I truly think we'll be reminded every minute, every moment, every single opportunity of how disastrous last night. And as a result of that, I think it's very easy in games like this to remind, like, hey, we played Austin Peay really close last year. We played Vanderbilt really close last year. Like, let's not go that route again. I mean, they had Ohio in here.
That's a really hard thing when it's all new players, though. Like, does that lessen?
What do you want me to say? They're going to lose?
No. I'm just saying. No, I don't think they're going to lose. But I'm just saying, hey, we played Austin Peay. Really, they played us tough last. Isn't going to set.
I'm just saying, with this group of players. You use examples. You say, listen, we have had games before in my time that, you know, but you know, this is not like some, you know, General Custer's last stand, man. It's a Wednesday game in FedEx Forum where Memphis is favorite. You know, I mean, you have to stop wearing your trauma. You have to stop wearing your trauma, Jeff.
I wear my trauma every day.
It's going to be fine, man.
I wear my trauma every day. That's exactly. You know,
finger on the real. You know, I got that. You know, I got two kids. I got one who does exactly what he's supposed to do every single day. He wakes up, he eats, he craps, and he goes to sleep. Right?
Yeah.
I'm not worried about him.
No.
I'm not worried about him because he's doing what he has to do.
Yeah.
Then I got this live wire child, right?
Yep.
Where she's screaming and she's kicking and she's not doing what she's supposed to do and she doesn't know how to take a bath.
It's a different age, John.
Right. That's Marcus Smart. I got to put all my attention on that.
Let me ask you. Speaking of trauma, who has more trauma, Tiger basketball fans, Grizzly fans, or Tiger football fans? Where's the trauma?
I would definitely say Tiger basketball.
Because there's nothing that tops Mario Chalmers.
And last year,
James Wiseman. It's not even close. Grizzlies' trauma is recent injuries. His recent injuries, right? That's their trauma.
Right. That is true. The Grizzlies, when I think about the Grizzlies, by and large, they moved to Memphis. They've been mostly a playoff team. Like, they got...
They mostly do what they're supposed to do in the playoff. The only trauma is about injuries last year. It's a recent trauma. Whereas the Memphis Tiger basketball team, that's deep trauma.
I mean, how many years have we had where top five recruiting class, and this fans, most
all of
coaches,
those,
you know, and it's like it never...
It's not,
you know,
this, isn't close. You're right.
You know? So, yeah, no, the trauma definitely, and so, again, maybe with that being the case, fair that you ask me about the 11.5-point underdog coming in here to FedEx Forum because, you know, God knows we've lived it.
It's the trauma. It's the trauma kicking in. All right, John, I appreciate it. I'll be listening from 11 to 2, as I always do.
All right. Talk to you later.
Yeah,
bye.
See ya. We got Chris Harrington coming up next. Before that, if any of you are Arkansas fans, you've doubtless read Bob Holt, who is a Bob Holt institution in really SEC journalism, has covered Arkansas for years and decades, and is a wonderful man and a splendid reporter.
Yeah, maybe one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet.
Good dude.
Truly like a nice man.
And a lot of people are asking for prayers for Bob. Calipari did last night ask for prayers for Bob after their game in the SEC-ACC challenge, which, by the way, the SEC rolling in that challenge. But Cal asked for prayers for Bob Holt and others. Mike Vaccaro, who's a columnist I know who worked alongside Bob. He's a columnist in New York now, but he worked alongside Bob in Arkansas, also asking for prayers. It sounds like there is a very serious health situation involving Bob Holt, and I hate to hear it because he is truly one of the nicest guys ever and is a total pro. And so if you are the sort that is inclined to prayer, you could spare one or two prayers for Bob Holt. That would be appreciated. We're going to come back, and we will talk to Chris Harrington in a moment about the Grizzlies. We'll get his theories about what the heck happened last night. Grizzlies will go on to play, come back to play the Kings, Sacramento. And then they go play Boston on the road. So things are going to continue to get a little more testing for them than they have been. We will see how they fare. In the meantime, I'll tell you, if you're selling your house, Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty would be the folks to call. 901-461-8147. 901-461-8147. I've given you all kinds of reasons for it over the months that I've been talking about Josh Hysaw after sitting down and meeting with him, and couldn't be more impressed. But flexible fees is one. No upfront cost is another. He'll let you out of your contract at any time, risk-free, which is another. It just shows the confidence that he had. His marketing is another. But on top of all of that, it's just incredibly reassuring to know that if he cannot find a buyer for your home, he will buy your home himself for full market value. That is a reassuring backstop in a tricky market. It is Josh Hysaw and the team at Keller Williams Realty, 901-461-8147, or joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.